welcome to episode 120 of A Gal and a Gay. I'm Mick.
And I'm Kitty. Thank you for joining us.
So we are just a couple days away from this year's Kansas City Film Festival, which runs April 5th through the 9th. In Kansas City. We are very excited. Unfortunately, Kitty's not going to be here for it.
No, and I'm going home to see my stupid family, so I'm going to be out of town, unfortunately. I did not realize my trip and the film fest were happening at the same time until just recently. So I'm really bummed because I did want to be there, and I did definitely want to meet Alex, who you'll hear the interview with in person. So, but yeah, I think it's really great. Kansas City has a really large film community. You wouldn't think they do, but they do. And so it's just really cool to see all these local filmmakers come together and celebrate that, you know, independent film. So, yeah. So if you're in Kansas City next week, go get your tickets.
Yeah. And so we will have a couple different podcasts with a couple different filmmakers. And the one we screened this week is called Prodigy. And Alex Hoy, who's a native to Kansas City, who lives in LA now, co-directed this film called Prodigy, and he's bringing it to Kansas City, which is pretty exciting. And through the interview, we're not going to give away any spoilers, but it's described as the film is about a psychologist who engages a young genius in a dangerous battle of wits, unaware of the supernatural power the girl possesses or that her life hangs in the balance. So that's the description from the movie producers. So we don't want to give away any spoilers.
But yes, we were lucky enough to screen it beforehand. And I mean, I was impressed completely. I thought it was a really great film. And I think, if you're a fan of sci-fi and kind of psychological thrillers, you're really going to like this. So definitely go and see it if you have a chance.
I was a little nervous that it was going to be a little bit of a horror movie because some of the images are a little creepy. The girl is incredible. Savannah Lyle, who plays the little girl in the movie. Oh, my gosh. She has probably a pretty bright career ahead of her just because she is fantastic.
Yeah, she was great. So, and she was really stand out in this film. And the other actor, Richard Neal, who plays Fonda in the film opposite of her for most of the film, he was great too. So it's really great seeing those two on camera together. And it's a really great film. I was very, very impressed by it. So you like it.
Yeah. And you were talking about Richard. He just kind of, when he first appeared on camera, I'm like, I think I've seen this guy someplace. Like, he just seems familiar, you know? I looked at his IMDb page, and I mean, he's had bit roles, supporting roles, but he just feels like a leading actor.
Yeah, he does. He really has a presence about him that's very likable and trusting. And definitely a leading kind of guy, I think. So if you look at his IMDb page, he's done a slew of work for like 20 years. I mean, he's been in the business just doing small parts here and there. So definitely a good character actor, so really great. So
without further ado, let's get to Alex's interview. Director, writer, producer of the new film Prodigy, Alex Hoy joins us. Alex, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
All right. Well, the film's been playing at different film festivals across the country, and it's coming to KC Film Fest April 5th through the 9th. So looking forward to that.
And this is kind of a homecoming for you, right, Alex?
That's right. I grew up in Kansas City. I lived on actually both sides of the state line at one point or another. We lived in Brookside, and then we moved out to the Overland Park area for high school. So I'm well versed in all things Kansas City, and I'm really excited to be bringing the movie back home now after all these years.
What high school did you go to, Alex?
I
went to Blue Valley North High School, which is right there on 119th.
Yeah, it's a big school.
Yeah.
So, there you go, Blue Valley North. If you're
going there, go listening. Mustangs.
You got an alum, the movie director. Yeah.
And you actually made your first film, right, when you were in high school?
Yeah, so Blue Valley has a really great, when I was there, it was just a broadcast journalism program, which they, mm-hmm. you know, would teach you how to put on a news show, and we put on a live cable access show once a week, which was a little crazy for a bunch of high schoolers, but that's what put a camera in my hands, and they would send us out to do short films and music videos just to kind of familiarize ourselves with the, you know, the camera and the equipment and that kind of thing. And I really found myself taking to it, and it kind of came easy to me in ways that it really didn't for a lot of my other classmates. And I kind of quickly became known as the guy who made great videos. And that segued into me. My senior year, I made a 45-minute remake of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie, which was a wild, wild experience, as you can imagine. A bunch of 18-year-olds running around in tights, filming fight scenes in fields and parking lots around town.
And dressed up as the Ninja Turtles,
that's
too.
That's right. We had turtle heads, we had shells, everything. And, you know, but it was. It sounds so absurd talking about it now, but I mean, really, because we had been kind of known as those guys that made videos, we ended up having a big showing of it and our premiere, and like 300 people showed up, and we filled up this cafeteria at the middle school and showed it and came out in our costumes, and it was a huge circus, but everybody loved it, and it was, at that point, I knew I was hooked on making movies.
Okay, so I have to ask you, are you going to reboot the new Ninja Turtles? Because these last couple movies were horrible.
Yeah, no, look, it's funny because everybody, of course, when they came out, everyone was texting me and calling me and saying, oh, you know, oh, what about the new Ninja Turtles? And, you know, I love Ninja Turtles as much as the next person. I was absolutely obsessed with them when I was growing up. But I think some people hold them to kind of a sanctimonious level that I don't necessarily hold them to, because, I mean, they've always been walking, talking turtles, and it's always been kind of a silly concept. So, you know, as long as they get a little humor and some action in there, I'm always just kind of like, okay, well, that's Ninja Turtles for you. I think that people were spoiled with that first movie that came out, because it was like dark and gritty and like hard hitting.
Yeah.
And then everything else since then has been kind of, I mean, it's all been kind of a joke. So I don't necessarily expect them to make a Citizen Kane of Ninja Turtle movies.
No. And by the way, would be something.
All right, look, yeah, look. Challenge accepted.
Yeah, do it. Yes. Yeah, your video was really funny. So
yeah,
y'all
look,
did a great job.
Thank you so much. Look, yeah. It was kind of early in the YouTube era. So I feel like if I had come out with it like 5 years later, it would have been a total viral hit. But we never quite struck it as viral as some other things. But it, for that time, I mean, it got like over 100,000 views in, you know, 2004 or whatever it was. So. It did pretty well for itself, and then I still am surprised that, you know, some of these nerd movie websites don't pick it up and say, oh, look what we found.
Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, there's still time though. You can make it go viral. Just
I know. Yeah, look, I'm always looking for that avenue.
That is so cool. So let's talk about Prodigy. We don't want to give away any spoilers, so we're gonna let you tell us about the movie.
Okay.
Go ahead. Tell us what Prodigy's about.
So Prodigy is a kind of contained science fiction thriller that follows this psychologist who comes into this weird military facility, and he's being warned about this dangerous patient that he's about to be pushed in the room with, and they wand him and they take his stuff and they say, you know, don't touch the patient, I'll give him all these warnings. And he finally gets ushered into this room, and he's sitting across from a little 9-year-old freckled-faced girl who is redheaded little girl who's just sitting all tied up into her chair with a straitjacket, and she starts talking to him as if she's this little miniature Hannibal Lecter. And so the story really becomes about him peeling back the layers then of what's going on, why is she you know, why is she here? Why is she all tied up like this? What is the government's interest in this? And only as their sessions kind of progress do we figure out how desperate and dangerous things really are. And that's the don't give away anything description.
Well, okay, so question about, you're talking about a little girl, Savannah Lyles, who is fantastic in this movie.
It's great.
Now, what was, because you also co-wrote this movie.
Correct.
Why did you want to base it around a youngster? And was the character supposed to be that young?
Yeah, so initially in the concept, I mean, in the very earliest stages, the idea that my writing partner and I both latched onto was that we really liked the idea of putting as young of a character as we could into this, like we said, this miniature Hannibal Lecter kind of role, because I've watched a ton of movies, and you know, you see them use kids in this way from time to time, where they act like adults, and it's either played for comedy or to be unsettling. And I couldn't think of one that wasn't, you know, a kind of possession-esque movie that where a kid was asked to do that for and kind of carry the movie themselves. And so we thought that was something that could really catch people's eye and be an amazing hook for a movie that was going to be as small as we knew we were going to make the movie. And we got a lot of people who said, this is your first movie, don't stake the entire movie on a 9-year-old. But we went for it, and we thought it was a bold choice. And so far, that, I mean, it's been amazing to see people's responses to Savannah, because, I mean, I think our decision really paid off, because we got a performance out of her that is incredibly consistent and totally throws people off when she shows up and starts acting the way she does. And I think it's what makes the movie work.
Yeah. And isn't that scary as well, because that could have been a make it or break it for the movie? And what's the casting process like when you have to find someone so young to pull off a role like this?
Right, exactly. And so casting is, there's a funny story, because we wrote the script, it took us about a year to get the script to a point where we said, okay, this is good enough where we feel confident moving forward and going. And the first thing we knew we had to do was find a kid. And so it was actually written as a boy when we first wrote it. And so we went out and auditioned, had several sessions worth of auditions with young boys to do this. And we really just weren't getting anyone who jumped out at us and made us say, like, oh yes, this is what we need. And it was getting to the point where we were almost thinking, like, okay, we might have to like scale back a little bit if we're going to make this work. But we had a discussion, and we said, well, you know, there's no reason we can't open this up to little girls as well. Might as well widen our net a little bit. And the first day we did that, Savannah submitted a tape, and we were like, oh my God. And I mean, that day we got 10 submissions from girls that were head and shoulders better than any of the boys. So it hurt our pride a little bit to admit how much better the girls were, but we were, in the end, we were glad we made that decision.
Well, and it makes it a better dynamic too, that it was a girl.
Yeah,
I think.
Oh no, I agree. And now we look back on it and think, you know, what were we ever thinking making this a boy? That would have been horrible.
You know, and we have to talk about Richard Neal too, who plays Fonda. Those two together were really great. And I mean, how did you cast him? How did you find this guy to play off this great little girl you have? So
yeah,
talk
Richard,
about that a little bit.
Absolutely, Richard is my hero. I love Richard. He's so great. I'd want to see him like get something out of this, because he was such a hero for us on set. And we found Richard. He came in for a casting, and the story there is that it was amazing because we had the Fondas all reading that kind of emotional scene at the end, and he read that, and we literally looked at each other, and we were like, he was the only person where we were like, well, I don't have any notes. Thank you. And so he didn't know whether we did well or bad, but he was so good that we just knew right away when he came in, like, that. I mean, for me, right when I saw him, I knew he was the guy. And we actually, when we did callbacks for the young girls, we had him read with Savannah, because those were the two that we thought had the best chance. and the chemistry was there, and that's really when we after we did that audition and cast those two, that's when we really felt like, okay, now we have a movie, and now we can, you know, move forward with the rest of the process.
Okay, so I have to ask, where did this idea come from? What were you guys going for? Again, we don't want to give away spoilers,
no,
but
absolutely.
Where do you come up with a story like this?
So my writing partner, Brian Vidal, he had actually won a logline competition a few years ago with this logline, which was, it was more about a psychologist dealing with kind of a young supervillain. It was more superhero themed, but so we had decided together that we were going to, you know, look into making a lower budgeted feature, and we knew we'd have to restrict ourselves in terms of locations and characters. So we started throwing out ideas, and he brought that one out, and we kind of went back and forth on it for a while, and eventually settled on a concept that is very similar to what Prodigy ended up being. And again, we both really liked that. That dynamic of the young Hannibal Lecter-esque kind of character, and then but we were also very much thinking about it in terms of kind of like the old Twilight Zone feel, because we wanted it to be science fiction, but we wanted it to have that kind of heady science fiction vibe that those old Twilight Zones all rely on the characters and the dialogue to carry them through, because they weren't pulling off the CGI spectacle of today. So we were really kind of thinking about it in those terms, and we ended up settling on a very kind of strange collection of inspirations, where we have the kind of Silence of the Lambs inspiration for the little girl, but then the movie really becomes about the psychologist getting through to her, which we kind of pulled a lot from a Good Will Hunting kind of feel. And then on the other side of the room, where the experts are watching him and trying to, you know, get him to see it their way, we really felt like we had kind of a 12 Angry Men dynamic going. And so those were kind of like the inspirations we settled on and that we drew from as we wrote and tried to kind of execute the story.
Wow. So tell us a little bit about the shooting process. Like, how long did you guys shoot this? And also, I want to ask you about, there are some special effects. I won't say what they are, but how did you guys do some of that stuff in some of those really
so
great
we shot,
moments?
So we shot in Riverside, California, which is just outside LA. And they were, they were amazing. They let us use this old abandoned building that was a county-owned property, and they basically let us use it for free and handed us the keys and said, have fun. And so we basically built our entire set into this old abandoned animal shelter is what it was. And so we built it ourselves, and that took us about a month of pre-production to build it and get all our props and all that. And then we shot for 2 straight weeks of 6-day weeks, and then about 3 days worth of pickup shots and outdoor stuff. So we had 15 days of shooting, which is, you know... was intense, you know, very long days. And the special effects were, they are, I mean, I'm really proud of the way they turned out, because they look great, and it's
they
most,
look great.
Yeah, I mean, don't they look good? I mean, my partner, Brian, he also edited the movie and did the effects work, because he's proficient in After Effects. So,
great job.
Well, the reason we were able to make them look so good is because we were able to do everything practically. You know, they let us, you know, there's some things that go flying around the room, and when we were doing that, we were able to do that because we were able to, again, it was an abandoned building, so we just strung, you know, poles up through the ceiling, and then, you know, put strings, you know, put wire over them, and then actually were able to pull stuff up and fling it around practically, and then we just had to paint that stuff out. So, I mean,
that's awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, the practical stuff. All I mean, it always looks better as far as I'm concerned. So, I was really pushing to try and make sure we did everything practically. And I mean, almost every single effect you see in the movie is done with a practical effect.
And it really does make a difference. And I think, you know, a lot of times you'll see movies and they'll look basically just kind of like a video game,
right?
And going. I mean, I can bring Star Wars into any conversation, but how, you know, J.J. Abrams kind of went back to the practical effects, and I think it makes a big difference because it kind of takes you in there and it makes the world feel real instead of fake.
Absolutely.
I mean, it, night and day difference.
I couldn't agree more. I love practical effects, and I'm a huge proponent of it. I mean, I don't like to oversell like that I hate CG or something like that, because like the what you can do with CG and it be invisible that you don't notice is amazing. But I'm totally with you, because I love that era of growing up when you know, even just like the, like we were talking about Ninja Turtles earlier, when those, that first movie came out, you know, I still remember how real that movie feels, and it's because the turtles are actually real guys in real turtle suits. Like, and those animatronics, I mean, I so wish that they would have just pushed animatronics further and further into, like, and to see what they could be doing with them today, even more than they already are, like you said, with the J.J. Abrams stuff, just because, to me, that stuff always feels like it has a more, it feels more grounded, which makes it resonate more with the audience, and that's why, you know, that era of kind of fantasy from the 80s of the labyrinths and the dark crystals and all that Jim Henson stuff always is going to be remembered so fondly. And I feel like a lot of the sci-fi and fantasy stuff you see today is just a little more forgettable because it all just becomes kind of a CGI mess sometimes.
Okay, so I have to ask you, when you go to these film fest, do you sit in the auditorium and watch the movie with the moviegoers, and are you there for their like their reactions and stuff?
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's my that's been the my favorite part of the whole process thus far is actually being in the theater with the audiences that we've seen. So we showed it at a festival called CineQuest, which was in Silicon Valley, and then a festival at in Sedona, Arizona, which was an awesome festival. And they, you know, they really get people out, and we had a couple really big screenings there. And to sit in the audience and really feel people reacting to, because, you know, we poured so much into this movie and it's been a year of work, and to sit in the audience and feel people reacting to the moments that we labored over and tried to make decisions on, and seeing what people are reacting to as well, because there's bits in the movie that, you know, like when you have this little girl talking to this guy and kind of barbing him and making fun of him a little bit. Like, I've seen the movie so many times, and even in writing it, I've kind of forgotten that that's funny when she does that. And so a lot of times people are laughing, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's like, she's making a joke, because I've even kind of just forgotten that these are funny moments. And so it's been really amazing to see and feel the audience's response to it. It's been my favorite part of the whole process.
Okay, since you're coming to Kansas City for the film festival, I have to ask, will you be maybe scouting some locations for a possible movie down the road? Because, you know, Kansas City now, I think this, even not even the city, but the state, I think they're now offering some kind of film credits for production.
Yeah, no, look, I would love to shoot something in Kansas City. In anything I shoot, I always tell people, like, oh man, I really wish we were shooting this in Kansas City. I know a bunch of places that would just let us shoot there for free, because when you shoot in California or LA, they're everybody's always looking out for, okay, well, yeah, how much are you going to pay me for shooting this or using that, or everything has a price. But I mean, shooting, when we were shooting even something as silly as Ninja Turtles, you know, we got on top of buildings downtown to shoot some shots. We got, we shot all over the place, and, you know, no one ever, I mean, one person might come out and be like, hey, what are you guys doing? Oh, we're making a movie. Oh, okay. Have fun. that's all there is to it most of the time. So I would love to come back and shoot something in Kansas City. I think it would be an amazing experience. And it's just hopefully I get the chance to do that. I'm kind of trying to use this film as a springboard into materializing the next project, and we've gotten a little interest in our initial discussions with distributors and sales agents, so I'm hoping that those things really come to life.
So are you working on that next project already, Alex, just in case?
Well, yeah, I have a script that I wrote that is a little bit bigger than Prodigy. And I had written it before Prodigy, and I've worked in the industry for 10 years, and I worked at a producer's office, and this and that, and I took some time and wrote this project, and I was trying to get it off the ground when I finally had this discussion with my friend about doing something really small that we knew we could kind of do within our own means, which ended up being Prodigy. Yeah. So I still have this project, which I really like, and I never really gave it its a real chance to kind of get off the ground because I got caught up with Prodigy. So I'm trying. I've sent it out to a couple people now, which is exciting, and I'm hoping that I still hope that that kind of materializes my next project. But I'm interested to see kind of what the reactions are amongst the film community once Prodigy kind of gets out into the world with distribution, and I'll see kind of what the opportunities are for me then.
So what was how long did it take you guys to write Prodigy?
Let's see. We started in, I think, November of 2014, and then we started casting in, I think, September of 2015. So almost a year, about 10 months. And, you know, it really didn't take very long for us to get a first draft out. Because we kind of both took separate parts. I took the stuff like in with the psychologist and the little girl, and he took the stuff in the control room, and we kind of wrote those parts out separately and then mashed them all together. And so we kind of split it up that way. But then, I mean, for us, the process is really about refining. And I think both of our strengths come in refining and rewriting and really fine-tuning everything to make sure that it's right from a narrative perspective, because I know I don't feel comfortable even thinking about looking at things visually until I have it right on the page. And so that's why it took us such a long time to kind of get it started. But then once we had it, you know, we only made a few changes from that point on based on rehearsals and things like that.
Okay, so which one of you is a chess player?
neither of us really. We both started playing a bit more when we were writing the script, and my wife, her dad is a really good chess player, and so I started playing him a little bit, and I played him and he would just, I mean, smoke me completely. And it got to the point where we had a couple games that lasted longer, and you know, then, I mean, months down the line, one game, I think I won, but it was, I'm pretty sure it was based on him kind of like letting me win. But that was after we were done shooting, and once I won that game, I haven't played a game of chess since, because I'm like, nope, I'm done. I'm leaving on top.
That's good advice.
Yeah. All right. Well, Alex, thank you so much. We're going to wrap this up. Thank you so much for being here. We both watched the film and we both loved it. You guys did a great movie, and I really hope people go and see it at the film fest, because it's really good.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm so glad that you guys got to see it. I'm so glad we got this set up. And yeah, look, I really hope people come. We're screening Friday night the 7th at 9:30 and Saturday the 8th at 10 p.m. And both screenings are at the Cinemark Palace on the Plaza. So I really hope we see a bunch of friendly KC faces there. I'm really excited. I want to see everybody there and show the movie, share the movie with my hometown.
Yeah, excellent. Well, if anyone listening, if you're going to be in the Kansas City area again, the KC Film Fest is April 5th through the 9th. You can go see Prodigy. For tickets, go to kcfilmfest.org/prodigy. And if you want to read more about the film and Alex and all his friends who helped make this movie, go to prodigy-movie.com. So again, Alex, thanks so much for being here. It was really great to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me.
And I will definitely see you next week.
Awesome. Yeah, I will be. I'll hope to See you guys at the film festival and outside of that as well.
I'm really bummed. I'm out of town, unfortunately, so I won't get to go actually see the screening. But yeah, best of luck to you. I mean,
thank you so much.
Okay, there you have it. There was our interview with Alex, one of the minds behind the film Prodigy, that you can see at Kansas City Film Fest next week, April 9th, 5th through the 9th, excuse me, at the Country Club Plaza. He was a really nice guy, and it was really great just to hear the process behind the whole movie and everything. So, yeah, go see it. Again, it was really good. So,
And he and I believe that they are doing a Q&A sometime during the film fest. So if you are in Kansas City and you want to ask him some questions about filmmaking or whatever, he will be there at the screenings, but he'll also, I know that they're doing a Q&A sometime during the film fest.
Yeah, and you know, we were talking to him after we recorded the interview just about some stuff, and he was saying, you know, we asked him about filmmaking and everything, and he said, you know, it just really is, especially nowadays, everyone has so much access to editing and film equipment and that sort of thing that, you know, if you want to do it, you just got to do it and you just got to try and don't be afraid to try it and see what works and that sort of thing. So if you are someone who has thought about making films or even interested in it, there you go. Just from someone who's doing pretty successful with it, just try it, you know, and get out there and do it and enjoy yourself. And by the way, Alex says that he is striving to get this on a streaming platform like Netflix or iTunes eventually. So hopefully it'll be in wide release that you can download and watch it at home eventually. So, yeah.
Yeah. How cool is that? I think we should start working on our own screenplay. I think we could come up with something.
I think you're right. What kind of movie will we make? Not a horror movie, because you don't like
horror. Not a horror movie. Sci-fi. I think sci-fi would be the way.
I agree. Like sci-fi comedy. I like that.
Spaceballs 2.
Well, maybe not.
No. That's way too much. That's way too much pressure.
Right, exactly. Exactly. All right, guys. Well, hey,
Yeah, you can always join in on our conversation. You can call us now and leave us a message, and we'll play on our podcast. That number is 816-237-8422. Again, that's 816-237-8422.
We're also all over social media. We're on Facebook, A Gallon of Gay, Twitter, A Gallon of Gay, and we just joined Instagram, A Gallon of Gay. Search for us on A Gallon of Gay. We're working to get some more pictures up, so... when Mick is going to be going to the film fest next week, since I will be out of town, and look for some pictures from that and that sort of thing. So, and also if you want to email us, agallonagay@gmail.com. So reach out to us any which way you want to.
Yeah, whatever is easiest for you. And also rate us too. We appreciate that.
Yes, please. Go to iTunes and rate us. Please, that'd be great. So, so that's it. Until next time.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Bye.